Well, welcome, dear listeners and watchers of the Brent Roberts and Ozzy Durog Talkathon. We have passed another month, and new numbers that we can talk about in terms of the papers are full of the market is up, and we're going to drill down and see where it's up and where it is not up. And also, we want to touch on the subject of the dastardly, in some people's mind, the dastardly flipping tax that starts on January 1. And there are some praising devils in the details. We want to get to those. And we also can talk a little bit about the market in general in specific areas or price ranges where they're really not very well at all. So last week we talked about developers' problems, and it seems to continue.
It does, Ozzy, for sure.
Yeah. More and more stories about, you know, some of the trades weren't paid or it's late or, you know, and so we keep saying this is a buyer's market and you should be out there looking. But clearly, the number one thing you have to do is check out the developer.
Absolutely. And some of the developers are great developers and they've been in the business for a long time and they've got great product. But of course, they're having to offer great incentives, as you've talked about in the past. Great incentives for not only the realtors, but the buyers as well.
And some unusual incentives. I even hear of a developer in the interior that offers you a percentage of income, about 5 or 6% on your deposit, and then you can back out up to 3 months before closing. Now, There's two stories there because, wow, I mean, the whole idea is to have pre-sales, right?
Right.
And this really is not a pre-sale if I can back out. But on the other hand, if I expect prices to be higher, maybe I want you to back out, right? So it depends. Maybe it shows a strength in the developer's mind or in his philosophy about where the market is going to be 3 years from now. So I'm just saying, as an individual, you have a choice. Do I take 5% down? Do I get an interest on my income? Do I get a car? Do I get furniture? You know, do I get a discount? You know, 2 years ago, they say, get out, you know, leave here. You know, we don't want to see you. You sign here or get out.
Well, and, you know, another thing is, in the past, I remember people offered, you know, we'll buy this property back from you at a 10% increase or whatever the case is, trying to give confidence that you will do better and, you know, make you comfortable. But as you've seen, a few developers go down and go under, as you've talked about in the past. You know, the challenge is, if you think you're going to get 5% back on your money, where does that leave you if something goes wrong with that particular developer?
Mind you, we have, under the law, we have real protection on the deposits. So maybe not on the interest on the deposit, but we certainly get the money back. But it's interesting you say that because it originally started in Richmond. Right. Where the developers had something like 40 houses that they just couldn't sell. And he says, I will buy them back 3 years from now at the same price you paid. And he never bought one back because the market took off, you know, but that was sort of a real big boy.
It was a good decision and it was a great marketing plan because let's face it, everybody thinks the market's going this way. We're saying, hey, look at, we're confident that the market will be there. And what we're selling you will be at least the same value and we'll buy it back.
Yeah, we'll buy it back from you, you know, and so on. And it's funny, when I was off with Royal LePage, that was my policy. If somebody complained that one of our agents put you in a position you didn't want to be then, I just bought the house back. There's nothing like making somebody an offer. Okay, he says, look, I understand. I'm very sorry that you feel this way. I'll pay you the same as you paid. Who's your lawyer? And they said, well, I don't really want to sell my house. You know? but yeah, we did. We bought several of them back. But look, why don't we just take a quick look at some of the numbers. I'll just put up the trusted PowerPoint.
Perfect.
And you tell me whether you can see the slides.
Yeah.
So what we always do is we look at last month's sort of a month-to-month comparison. And then what we do is, how come I don't see you? Do you see yourself there? There you are, right?
Okay.
You see yourself?
I see you and I at the bottom.
Okay, well, you can move that around. But anyways, the idea was that we wanted to take a look at a longer period of time because we have this, it's a 28% increase in sales, yoo-hoo! And that, of course, is November over last November. But 2023 was an anemic year following a very lousy 2022. So if you go back to just the four-year period, so from November 30, 2020 to November 30, 2021, we sold 14,400 houses. Mm-hmm. And from November 30, 2023 to November 30, 2024, we sold 7,440.
That's
all you have to say. That's what happened, right? We're looking now, when you look a little further down, the running total of a whole year's sales of that period, that snapshot in time, went from 14,400 that year to the 2022 of to 8,800 to 7,500, and now we're down another couple of hundred dens. But huge. On the condo side in Vancouver, it was 21,784. This year, it's 13,400.
Big drop.
I say it's still a lot of condos, but that's a huge drop. No?
Well, not only that, there's a lot more condos than there were 3 years ago, too. So, I mean, these numbers are based on numbers from 3 years ago. And, I mean, there should be more sales, obviously.
That's an excellent point. I never even thought about it. Yeah, there's so much more product that's come on the market. I myself know that, you know, my small real estate company that sells pre-sales, we've seen a lot of, we participate in a lot of new buildings, right?
Right.
The interesting thing is, and I think we said that before, when you look at the prices, can you see my little arrow?
Yes.
Yeah. It was $1,949,000 for the average single family home price, and now it's $2.1 million. Mm-hmm. And it was $717,000 for condo, now it's $814,000. So in Vancouver, we stayed the last 3 years almost the same. And we're up of where we were, even though the sales are down. So it's quite unusual, but that's reality. So from a price point of view, we then have to talk to somebody like you that's actually in the market and can see that some of those unit areas actually have seen a huge price drop and some haven't.
For
if you
sure.
look at the Fraser Valley, for instance, there was a similar thing, 12,188 was sold. This year, 5,425. I mean, wow, that's a 60% drop, even more. From 7,200 condos, I mean, from, 7,200 condos, it slipped here to 4,400. And then the price was $1,463,000. Now that's November 30, 2021. We then went up to $1,009,000 in the spring. But anyhow, now it's $1,005,000. Condos were 471, now they're 560. But again, the last 3 years, about the same.
Right.
So it's been a crash in the number of sales that were taken for that year period. We went from 12 to 6 to 5 to 5,400, right?
Absolutely.
Now, when we take a look at Surrey, though, you looked at some of the numbers that have very few sales.
Well, and you know, no, that's what the thing is that, you know, I was just reading this. It says buying selling activity is typically quiet at this time of year, says Jeff Shadha, you know, the chair of the Fraser Valley Real Estate Board. But the reality of it is I always find that, you know, if you get refocused and everything else, a lot of people are putting their houses, less people are putting their houses on the market, but buyers are there again. So you've got less buyer, you've got less sellers, but you've got as many buyers. The buyers are still consistent. So sometimes if you've had your house on the market for 6 months or something like that, you know, all of a sudden there's less product to choose from. So if you're buying, you're serious, and sometimes you can do quite well at this time of year. However, you know, if you look at some of these prices, for example, if you're in Surrey and central Surrey area, you know, there, if your house is between $1 million and $1,250,000, you know, there was only 34 for sale because that's the level entry. You know, that's the lower end of the marketplace.
Yeah.
There's 34 available, 17 sales in November. So 50% of the market was selling. That's pretty good. I mean, if 50% of your market's selling, you're in a good booming marketplace. However, you know, if your property is over $1,750,000, for example, let me look here. Yeah, if you've got $1,750,000 to $2 million, you know, there's 187 available Aussie and only 12 sales, which is about 6%. So that means one out of 20 houses, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got a lot of product on the market. So now when you talk about stink bids, my gosh, if you're buying in that price range, you can definitely, you know, take an aggressive look at the pricing because a lot of them are not moving at all. As a matter of fact, if you have a property that's that price, you may be sitting on the market and not have a buyer look at your house in 4 or 5 months. You know, so your motivation should probably move and change, and then prices will come down in that respect.
Well, that's the old realtor joke. You know, we can sit here and make you happy, right? And we ask your price and never
right.
sell, or you're going to put a reasonable price and you actually will sell the property. There was a quote that I've obviously screwed up, but the point was, I can make you happy. I think that comes always back to that we need a professional realtor.
Right.
And we have a lot of professional realtors in Vancouver and in Fraser Valley. I don't know whether you know, because I'm an old guy, Brent, but I used to be the president of the New Westminster, Burnaby, Coquitlam Real Estate Board. It was sort of a board, so they had presidents. I was part of the Vancouver board, and later on it was all merged. But at the time, the Vancouver board and its catalog was the first and the best in the world. The board was at its most professional realtors in the world. We were from all over the world, from New Zealand, from York, they came as how the board was operating, you know. And I also remember then we went from the loose leaf listings. There were sort of were little pieces of paper that you had a book. When we went to the catalog, we had mass demonstrations of realtors. They didn't want it. They were, if they didn't want it, you know.
Well, as a matter of fact, one of my customers, and she was a dear old lady. She passed away, unfortunately, but she had one of those books and she gave it to me. And I like looking through, you know, the book when they were $17,000 for 5 acres of land like that. But you're right. They had a little black book and you'd open up the binder and you put them in there, clip them back in. And like you said, and then they protested, from my understanding, like you just said.
Well, the idea was that, you know, I have a system, right? So when it's sold, I take it out of there and it's no longer, you know. But I mean, the funny thing is then Blockbusters, and of course, later on, and I ended up being chairman and president of Blockbusters, our catalog was the backbone of the company, right? Yeah. And when I bought a huge corporation, the red carpet company in the United States, 100,000 agents and so on. And when we introduced that catalog to them, it was, wow, it was like a major thing. Anyways, we digress. The point is, let me just take a quick look back at the slides.
Right. And you're right, by the way. When I first started 35 years ago, I would phone the island and they said, oh, you know, I'd phone the MLS. And they said, well, if you want some proper stats, you should phone NRS, because they're the ones that have better stats, because they sold most of the stuff back in those days and they had their book and a catalog.
So while that was Vancouver, we looked at, the thing is that the sales are clearly better than they were in 23 and 22, but they're still below the previous years of 21 and 2020. So if you take a look at a sort of a 5-year comparison,
right,
it's quite true. The headlines that you have seen of the 28% increase, that is if you break it up between single family and condos, condos are actually 29% higher in sales than last November.
Right.
And single family homes are 20% higher. So they went from 502 to 630. And if you look at 2022, that's even better than there. That was only 471. But if you go to 2021, we sold 948. In 2020, we sold 992. So compared to the 630 now, and we have that information already because we looked at the running total, right? It's very clear that we're not nearly back as to where we were in a normal kind of a market. Now, also the price at 2.1 million now and 2.1 million last year, they've come a long way. But since June, this year, we hit 2,348,000. So we're down quite a bit from that price. So on the active listing front, and that you as a realtor also should appreciate, that active listings are only up 11% on houses and 4% on condos. That is a huge decline. We used to have a lot more product for sale.
Huge decline. Also, if you look above, like you were just saying, Ozzy, November 24 and November 23, they were the same price. But they were the same price in November 21, you know. So I mean, here you are 3 years later, and you're exactly the same price. You haven't made any.
But you would expect that with that many sales going down, that and you look, you go to YouTube, and everybody's forecasting the end of the world, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I even saw Mr. Rosenberg sort of saying he might have made a mistake. You know, he's been talking about a bubble forever and a recession forever. But anyways, we don't have to go there. On the condo side, very quickly. The listings, again, the sales were up 29%. But again, it's, you know, look at it. We had 1,006 condos sold from 778. That's a nice increase by 29%. But look at, it was 1,006,000 in 2021 and 1,002,000 in 2020. Yeah. So clearly, you know, that we have gone Better than last year, but not nearly back.
But last year was such a bad year. And I mean, it was still settling itself too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I mean, we might be a bit above that, but we're certainly not where our 10-year average is or anything.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. Active listings from September, 20%. In September, we had 20% increase in listings. Now it's 11. And in condos, we were 34% increase in active listing. It's now only 10. So that's a good sign for a strength of the market. But
for sure,
a lot of developers and realtors like to quote the numbers over months over months. Well, actually, from October, we're down in sales to 724 in condos. I mean, in October, there were 724 and condos were 1396, whereas, as you can see, 630 and 1006. Anyways, so let's...
And the Fraser Valley, I can add this. So it says here with our news release, Fraser Valley home sales returning to seasonal norms in November after October surge. Following a healthy boost in sales in October, Fraser Valley homes sales dropped in November as slower seasonal trends. And, it, you know, sales were 1,136 sales in November, down 15% from October. So, again, we're higher than last November, but we're down from October. So, you know, they're saying it's seasonal highs, but they're also saying this lends well to we're above last year's last year and the previous year. So that might help us lead into January, February well, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's true, but I don't know what they mean by previous normalcy because we sold 437 houses in Fraser Valley in November. It was 314 in November 23. Okay, that's a 39% whopping increase, but we sold 750 in 21 and 974 in 2020, right?
Right.
And on the condo side, we had, 317 we sold, up from 241. That's up 31%. Yoo-hoo. But we had 461 and 390 those previous years. So the point is, no reason to get negative, no reason to get positive. We are slowly working ourselves out of what was fairly sharp downturn.
Right.
Downturn. The big key thing here too is active listings for single family homes are only up 4% and new listings are up 13%. So you look at that, you know, we had numbers of 40% higher. In Toronto, we had numbers of 60% and 70% higher.
Right.
And even on the condo side, there's only new listings are only up 9%. Now, you have a philosophy on that. As we get closer to Christmas, a lot of people take their houses off the market.
Right. So, you know, normally, you know, if you listed your house 6 months ago or a year ago, you usually use December 31st as a deadline, for example. But a lot of people say, well, I don't want to be on the market at Christmas time. So they take their houses off, you know, because of Christmas plays, yeah. Kids, you know, families coming in from out of town to visit, you know, we're baking, we're shopping, you know, so a lot of houses aren't on the market. And I've noticed for the last 35 years consistently that if I want to buy something, I'm serious about buying. I might be coming here from out of town visiting family and I buy a place. So there's a lot of buyers still. Like, I mean, the numbers are certainly off from the spring market, but they're still very strong compared to the amount of active listings, Ozzy. So now if you're selling your property, you've got less competition. And if I was on the marketplace, and we've been very, very busy in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're always good, but we're very busy right now. And if you're trying to sell a property right now, or if you tried to sell a property 4 or 5 months ago, maybe it's time to call me and say, hey, what can I do with my price? Am I in that same position? Could I sell it for what I was trying for last time, or do I have to come down? So
well,
I know
sometimes, sometimes it's not all price. You know, that's the fear that a lot of owners have. Well, all you're going to tell me is reduce the price. And quite often that is the problem. Let's face it, the market is. But very often it is also, you know, whether you should stage your house. I mean, it might be nice for you to have your nice pictures of your dog on the fridge and and all the goodies that you, I know that, I don't know whether we talked about that once before, but I hired once a stager. She was part of your real estate action group. Great gal.
Right.
And she came with a lady into our house. We had a 5,500 square foot house at the time, and we wanted to sell. Well, she had me paint the front door bright red, and she did all of these things. And the first thing she said, take all the stuff off the fridge, you have little kids and big kids and this. And what are all these things that you have along the ceiling, you know, on top of the fridge? Take all that down.
Right.
I said, why? Well, he says, if you really want to sell it, people come here, they want to visualize their own stuff there, but all they see is your stuff. Well, we did that. And my wife and I looked at it and said, we're no longer selling. We like this house much better. So staging can make a difference. There's a reason for it. And you know, you have seen stages all, you know, people are not overpriced all the time. You get quotes, you know, like with everything, and all of your trades always get a quote, and then maybe you can get the house.
You know, and sometimes it's just finding the right buyer. Like I remember, and you're right about staging sometimes, you know, or somebody has a similar furniture to you, it makes them feel at home, feel comfortable. I remember we had this, you know, a tea cozy. It was a pussycat tea cozy, right? And the little girl said, "Mommy, there's the tea cozy that we saw on our pic on the picture, right?" And so, of course, when we sold the house, we left the tea cozy for them.
Yeah.
You know, people do like, you know, how they feel in a house. Like you said, it's not all about price.
Well, and I've seen it myself. I almost lost the deal over a swag lamp. And, you know, he wanted to keep it and she wanted to buy it. And I said, "Look, I'm the realtor." I said, "I'll buy it. I buy you one." No, it's that one that we need. I looked at the swag lamp. I went home to my wife. You wouldn't believe it. You know, we have a real deal riding on a lamp, you know. So, anyways, but that's the point is we want to get people feeling good about what they buy. So.
Exactly. What I've always found, if it comes down to that swag lamp or something like that, that's when we say, "Sorry, we can't include that because it was a wedding present." You know, and that's about the only way you can get away with it, or else it really is truly a fight. That's some of these silly things.
Why wouldn't he leave the lamp? I mean, it's, you know, I'm paying all this much. Well, he wants the
exactly. Anyhow.
Okay, let's switch.
Find it in the box for the garage sale later on.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears and talk from swag lamps, which was a debatable thing, going to what is now happening on January 1, which is the flipping tax, right?
Right.
And it's like you could make a lot of call words, word plays on the flipping tax, you know, that is coming on January 1.
Definitely, but has a different connotation, doesn't it?
But I think anybody that has something that they plan to sell got to think about it, because any owner that wants to sell their residential property or sell a right to acquire a beneficial interest, that means that if it's after January 1 that you're selling it, if it's before January 21, you're fine. So sell now if you want to sell before January 1 and close before January 1. But otherwise, it has to be 2 years from the time you buy it. So the tax is due, even if you bought it in December 2023 or March 2023. The point is, it has to be 2 years back. So if I sell it into January 2025, it has to be bought before January 2023 for it to escape the tax. Now, the way it works is that the timer, the two-year timer, 730 days, begins on the date of acquisition. Now, look at this fine print and the devil in the details. I assign my pre-sale contract to you now. It starts new. So you have to wait 2 year period. Even though I've been waiting 3 years for the thing to complete, like I'm buying condos right now that completing in a building called the Flamingo, Sharon City's great high rise. It's going to be about May or June that I will be selling it.
Yeah,
I bought it 3 years ago, right? You know, but if I assign it to you today, that's considered a new deal and you have to wait 2 years for that tax to apply.
Right.
So now, to just complicate things more, it's 20% in the 365 days following the sale. So following the acquisition date. So if it was a year ago I bought it, I paid 20%. However, if it was say 400 days, then it reduces on a per day basis, right down to until 760. So you could be paying 18% and 16% or 12%. So clearly you need an accountant to work it out and you might have to understand that. Now, the crazy thing is, I also had a message somewhere saying, but we're already paying the flipping tax federally. So that should be, we should deduct the BC tax. Which government would you like to talk to that about? No, it is not deductible from another tax. The addition, it's 40% likely if you're in a 40% bracket for the federal and 20% of the BC one. Now, on top injury to injury is that the federal one is on income. So people are saying, well, is it 66% because it's capital gain? No, they treat it, if you sell at a profit within the first year, the federal government says that that's income. So it's 100% taxable.
Right.
So hopefully you.
Now, here's the other thing. So our government, you know, and I always say you can't incentivize people by penalizing them. So here's our brilliant provincial government putting in a flipping tax because they want to make it more affordable. So here I've got my mother and father, you know, they want to move into a place. Often in a complex they would buy into is a 55-age complex. Maybe the people have been there for 30 years. They're 75, 85 years old. There's a good chance they haven't updated anything. They're quite comfortable in their place. The carpets are pink and, you know, they don't need to change them or anything like that. The appliances are 30 years old unless they needed to change them. So guess what? My parents want to move into that place, let's say, but you know, we want to modernize it. So what am I supposed to do? Get my mom and dad out with a hammer and start fixing the place? Or, you know, would I prefer if we sell it to somebody that wants to fix it up, make it in good shape so that my mother and father can buy it and have a place that they want to be reasonable in? We'll pay a better retail price. So, you know, somebody should be able to fix that property up and make some money off of it. We're okay with that. But here's the problem. You know, they're not going to want to do that. So that's going to lower the price of a, you know, if somebody's moved out or they passed away, unfortunately, or moved into a home, you know, or they just, you know, or other people that just didn't update things. What are they going to do? Their house is going to get devalued because there's less people that will buy them. Anytime there's confusion, like you just said, hey, there's 40% income tax on this, and then the people are uncertain. They don't buy something.
I mean, the other thing is that whole question of renovation. We know, you and I know, really good renovators that buy a house that's run down, maybe in an estate sale. You know, the heirs fought over it for years, and it just needs a lot of good. And so he buys it. The right. idea is he buys it, and he spends time and effort on it. But now not only does he... and he's hoping to make a profit, but that profit now federally is 40% whittled down on income, 20% provincially, plus 5% GST and 3% property transfer tax. 68% of the profit is going to the government. Who's going to do it?
Who's going to do it? Ozzy, I think, you know, any business person would love to get into business and pay two-thirds of the income to the government. Yeah. Like, that's craziness. I mean,
yeah, so the very thing they're trying to do is provide more acceptable accommodation. It's not going to happen, right? So the house is going to sit there and rot.
You know. Absolutely. And to add to what you were just talking about with the pre-sale, so our government wants us to have more accommodations, build more, get the developers building more. Well, you can tell the developers are in trouble right now. Developers are having trouble selling properties. Then if I'm a guy that wants to buy a place that I make, you know, I've invested my money. I'm a small guy. I just want to buy a property and have a little bit of a lift in life because, you know, the Canadian dream, have a little bit of money besides what I'm earning and eking out of my regular job. I can invest in real estate. Well, now I'm being penalized to do that again. So now,
the whole idea was that we buy some real estate and have a nest egg at the end of our life because, hey, 75% of Canadians do not have a pension from the government, like a nice fat government employee pension or a nice fat university pension, or all of those nice fat pensions. You don't. You have a nice fat pension that you save. But now they're coming after save. They come as a profit. If you make a profit, you know, you are some sort of a terrible person that's taking advantage of others. It's ridiculous. Right. You saved your money. You were frugal. You know, look at all, when you look at the real estate, the stuff, I've had a house at Whistler. I changed the roof, changed the gutters, changed the hydro system. You know, when you consider you do over time, right? You don't think about taxes at the time, but that means that after all of these years and all of that, then the government wants to grab most of it. It's most disconcerting.
Well, and you're a housing provider for renters and everything else. And guess what? You know, with the people that are buying and holding, they're penalizing them. They're making them look like they're bad people as well. And it's really a shame because, I mean, you know, it's the little guy, it's the mom and pops that are the people that buy a lot of the real estate. It's not big corporations buying these houses and helping.
Exactly. Well, look, the major point, like I always say in my newsletter, there are major points and then there are major points. What we're seeing in the market across Canada is that actually, owners, quite a few of them are canceling the listings. And maybe that's what we've seen, where the active listings and the new listings are a lot fewer than they were last year at this time. They still have increased, but the increase is a lot slower. But what I'm reading about Ontario is that a lot of the owners are canceling because they think it's going to be a better price in the spring. Now, the buyers are for the same reason. They're not buying because they're better for, waiting for a better rate next year. So they're expecting a better real estate interest rates. And last week we talked about the mortgage wars pending, right? And so they're hoping for that.
Well, exactly. And, you know, next week we're going to have a rate reduction. And of course, our job rating came in lower than expected. So, you know, there was a 50-50 chance. Well, there was probably a better chance that it would stay be a 0.25% drop instead of a 0.5% drop. But now the jobs, you know, information came in. And of course, now it's even more likely that they might do a bigger drop than that. But it's hard to say still.
But well, it's the unemployment rate went to 6.8%. And that's quite an increase when you consider we were as low as 6.2 a few months ago. And but I guess for BC, though, in BC, we are below that. We even hit 6. But clearly, that's compared to the United States, it's 4.1, right? So you take this 10 times larger economy as an unemployment rate of, you know, almost two-thirds of where we are. So clearly, there's a lot of pressure. We also hear a lot of bankruptcies. We have all of this stuff is in the marketplace. There's clearly, we had the former Bank of Canada governor yesterday came out, I guess Friday or Thursday, saying that we are in an outright recession in his view, right. And now seeing as a former Bank of Canada guy. So in saying all that, I think you're likely right. The bank is between a rock and a hard place because they would probably like to reduce it a lot more, but then they're worried that they then stimulate inflation because our core inflation has not gone up. It's just the unemployment rate has gone up, right?
And then look what you said in the past. I mean, you predicted a 69% dollar, and we're almost there on Friday. We're at 70.1 or something like that. We're just above 69. So you've nailed it. And they're in, like you said, they're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, you know, the Americans are doing quite well and everything's stimulated and going well. And here we're having to stimulate. I mean,
we're already 1% below the Americans, and they're actually on their interest rate is coming on the 18th. So this next 2 weeks will be clear. If we go down 0.5% and the Americans, let's say, don't do anything, which is quite likely, or go down just 0.25%, well, there'll be more pressure on the Canadian dollar, and I firmly believe that. By the way, it's not 69%; it's 69 cents.
My apologies. Exactly.
No, that's okay.
And I'm happy with that right now.
Well, you're happy because you got American dollars.
That's right.
You know, anybody that has American dollars is doing very well.
They're happy.
The big thing is that, you know, as buyers, we still look, we still like real estate. I mean, I see people out there, they've been in the business for 30 years and they're saying it's the end of the world. It isn't the end of the world, or at least seems to be almost religiously every 4 or 5 years, it is the end of the world.
Right.
I got a most magnificent clip. I've been trying to get it downloaded and put it on Facebook. So go look at my Facebook in the next day or so. But this clip is where the husband and the wife, just recently married, are looking at houses and saying, look, we just can't afford it. And we've saved now for 4 years. We have the down payment. We likely qualify, but we're continuously beaten out. Do you know the price they were looking at? $110,000. That was 1989. The market was hotter than a firecracker.
Yeah.
There were multiple offers like crazy. They had 10,000 saved over years. See, it's just zeros that we've added, and we end up with similar markets. So anyways, point is, still make lowball offers. You know, everybody's crying, you should be buying. But the point is, go ahead.
I'm going to chat with you about that because 1989 was the year I became a realtor. And September, the prices went up $10,000. I mean, the average price was like in the 80s, 900. October, it went up $10,000. And November, it went up $10,000. Yeah. December went up. So you're right, it was booming and people, I can't afford to buy. And of course, what happened in February, prices were down, you know, if you had bought in 1989, you'd be so happy today.
Well, the other thing is in my book, the Forget About Location, that was 1998. And the average price was $275. So we came from 89 to 1998 already. In that 9 years, we almost, you know, we went up $100,000. So anyways, I think that it is likely, with all the money that we owe the world, $330 trillion, that no government can pay it back. It's not possible. What is possible is that it's debasing the currency, and real asset, hard assets, are going to rise. So as a buyer, make those lowball offers, carefully check out the developer, don't be scared, and don't rush, but keep looking so that you understand what is a good deal. Now, in my last newsletter, it's OzBuzz 101. So if you go to ozbuzz.ca, read the money-making to-do list, all the things that you can do to position yourself to be a smart, intelligent buyer in a market that maybe is coming your way. And also take a look at the developer trouble video that Brent and I did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had an email saying that you're always saying that how to get a hold of Brent. How do I get a hold of him? Well, if you go down to the description, we have his email there, but it's very easy. It's his name. It's Brent@BrentRoberts.com. So Brent@BrentRoberts.com. Now, whether he'll answer or not, I don't
know. I'll answer you.
Yeah, he and I, we have a little problem there about communication. He is a busy guy, but then it's me, you know, who the hell. For you, what you should do in the headline is have possible listing. He will call you within 30 seconds. You know,
yeah, exactly right. Well, Ozzy, and you know, you're right about people. Don't rush, like you said, because, you know, one of our customers locked in their rate and it was 4.64. Now they're at 4.14, and, you know, for a 5-year money. And then the rates are supposed to go down next year or next week. So, I mean, you know, there's talk about rates next week as our next year going down as well. You know, Royal LePage has just put out a thing saying they're predicting a 6% increase in prices overall. Of course, you and I both know that's sectional, depending on where you are and what price range you're in and everything else, you know, but don't rush. I mean, make good decisions out there. And, you know, one day we'll be very happy for every piece of real estate we ever acquired.
Don't be scared, right? I mean, it's, you know, I cannot tell you how often we were in tough times, and it was the end of the world. And right now, of course, I was reading about the stock market, you know, the bubbles and this and that. Yeah, it does happen from time to time. When we had the dot-com bubble, I had an internet company. Right. And, you know, half of my competitors all went bankrupt overnight. It does happen, right? And I don't know what's going to happen to AI. I continue to be amazed at ChatGPT, what it will do. But it's not just ChatGPT. I mean, we have Pictory, and we have all of the new AI abilities to help you run your business better. And certainly, if anybody is interested in what AI is going to do to the real estate, go look at the video I did with Richard Morrison just a couple of weeks ago, which is also on the Jurok video channel. So any final words?
Well, you know, I agree with what you're saying. There's opportunities out there. We've got a property right now, for example, listed. It's $100,000 less than assessed value. Great opportunity. You can possibly build up to 4 units on some of these properties now. So, I mean, there's some real good opportunities out there. Good buys, and the people are motivated. So, you know, good time to make a low ball offer or a sneak bid on stump properties. And we're always finding good opportunities out there.
I just remember all my life, somebody told me every year, there's too many realtors in the business. And then they said, no young people can afford to anymore. Always. And finally, I wish I bought 5 years ago.
Exactly.
Have a great weekend, Brent, and have a great weekend.
Thanks. Your Christmas tree looks beautiful, by the way.
Well, I still have to finish. We have my granddaughter and I be putting up the train, you know, so we're going to have to leave all that. And then the final touches will have to be done.
Good for you. That's good with your granddaughter. That'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Nothing like family.
Good for you. Exactly right.